Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 19. I've sort of been going down memory lane a little bit this week, being the beginning of another year and the first Sabbath of this year. If you travel down memory lane, you've visited a lot of places. Some of them you would like to go back and revisit, and some of them you're sort of glad they faded into the distant past. I told a story this morning in Ranger. I was blessed to have a loving mother and father. There was nothing in the way that I was taught that would influence my behavior in a bad way. But one evening, the thought came to my mind that it would be very funny. And that was all it was. It was just to be funny. We didn't have a TV. We didn't do much for entertainment except kind of homemade entertainment. But I went to the refrigerator and got the package of margarine. And I pulled down the sheets in my mother and daddy's bed. And all the while I was doing it, it was just funny, that's all. No bad intention at all. And I took the margarine and I smeared it from one side to the other. And my little heart was just filled with joy because it was going to be so funny. After I finished with the margarine between the sheets, the thought came, you can make it even better. So I slipped into the kitchen and got the salt and went back into the bedroom and I sprinkled salt all over the margarine. And I pulled the sheet back up, the quilt back up, and I went to bed just a little early. I could not wait to hear the click of the light go out. And as soon as Daddy and Mama went to bed, there was just a short distance there in the hallway between my bedroom and their bedroom. And as soon as I heard the click of that light, I eased myself over and stood by their door. Almost 50 years ago, I can still repeat verbatim what my father said. And he said it in a very loud voice. Now, I'm just a little kid. I can see them getting into the bed. No pajamas, at least for my dad. I just knew when his feet and legs and arms hit that margarine, it would be so neat and so funny. And I leaned over against the door just a little bit. I was so quiet. They didn't even know I was there. But his exact words were, my mother's name was Eiler now. He says, Eiler, who in the world could have done this? And I won't tell you what she said. I can't remember verbatim, but it was something like this. Well, Ed, what is it? And then he got up and turned on the light. We probably should just go back and have communion. This is getting... But he said, I don't understand why this has happened. It is so funny. Oh, I couldn't laugh out loud. I couldn't hold it in. I eased myself down the hallway back toward my bedroom. But the words were still ringing. Who has done this? Ed and Phil, they're grown. They've left the house. My little brother, he's 5 years younger than me. I couldn't blame it on him. I know what's going to happen. The anticipation of my joy was suddenly overridden with the anticipation of punishment. We were never beaten, but we were at times disciplined. And my daddy came out of the hall, and my mother came out, and they looked funny. They really did. I mean, it was on their faces and on their arms. But I couldn't laugh. I just knew better than to laugh. And my daddy didn't know anything about psychology and counseling and things like this. But he just looked at me. And he said, "Wendell, I don't understand it." You know, to this day, I have never, ever put margarine and salt in a bed. Now, why would I tell a story from the pulpit on Sabbath morning like that? There's some unique things in Scripture. And you are at one of them if you've turned to Revelation 19. Jesus was a man like we are, acquainted with every human emotion as we are, which included humor and sorrow. And the institution of this service right here, in his mind, he was anticipating the joy that would come later on, but there was also pain that had to be endured before that time would arrive. In Revelation 19, we have the promise of a marriage supper. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 19, verse 5. "Then a voice came from the throne that said, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great.' And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns.'" This is a tremendous event to take place in the future. Verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, 'Write it down. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" Now I want to stop right there. If you study the life of Christ, events of deep importance are often associated with food and with supper. And the celebration, as we refer to it today, is at a particular event on the Thursday evening before Christ was crucified on Friday. And we just simply refer to it as the Lord's Supper. It was the celebration of the Passover Supper that the Jews had once a year. It was of important time. It was conducted with extreme detail. And so the food that they ate, the beverage they drink, everything connected with it had deep symbolic meaning to the life and the ministry of Christ. Now there's a little difference. From that supper in the upper room where the disciples met with Christ and he washed their feet and encouraged us to do the same. From that supper comes the promise of another meeting place and another time, yet in the future, when the church of God is united as the bride of Christ with him. And there is a wonderful time of celebration once again. There's a difference, though, between the celebration of this supper in the time of Jesus and the one that we shall be with him in heaven. When he holds up his hands there, in the palm is a scar. He will bear those marks for all eternity. I think there may be a time, maybe even during the 1,000 years, when we get to ask the question. Now, I'm not going to repeat exactly what my daddy said, but it goes something like this. Who has done this? Who crucified you? Theologically, whose sins drove you to hang on the cross? And back will come the answer from my lips and your lips, mine. When I had that experience with the daddy and mama that evening, I didn't get a whipping. What my dad said to me and the way he said it motivated me to never do that again. Not on threat of punishment, but out of genuine love. He was being the best parent he knew to be. And he says, I just don't understand why you would do this to us. I know he, in his tremendous mercy and wisdom, can say something of a very similar nature. After being so good to the human family, why we continue to do bad things back even when we know they are bad. And to purposefully choose to do wrong, and get this, to purposefully choose to practice sin when he has done so much for us, causes the angels in heaven to marvel and question. I can just hear it now. The discussion in heaven. Don't those people on earth know that Jesus is going to come and get those who want to be friends with him? Don't they know that we've prepared this beautiful place up here for them, and soon things on earth are going to come to an end and eternity's going to begin? Don't they know that? Why do they behave the way they do? It's my hope that in this service today, the first one of 2012, that God will let us do an inventory of our likes and our dislikes, that God would help us to choose to make the first steps toward reconciliation in any areas that we need to. And that if the question is ever asked of us, Why did you do that? You can have an answer that says, I did it because I love Jesus. There can be a change in the way we think and a change in our behavior if we're willing to let Him do it in us. Would you agree? Bow your heads with me as we pray. Lord, I thank You for the gift of life in Jesus, for Your great forgiveness, Your enduring love and mercy toward us as a people who do foolish things that sometimes just don't make any sense. We do wish to pray the prayer that we are sorry for that which we have done that is displeasing to You. And we ask that You would help us in those areas where we are weak, and that in this year You would give us a continuing victory in our life, a victory from within, not just in performance, but Lord, a mindset that says that sin is bad and righteousness is good. Let the celebration of this service today move us toward the permanence of that resolution in our mind. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.